Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 95.9 FM. JJ Jackson and Ryan Lavoie excited to go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a first-time guest to the program from the Washington Post, a national baseball reporter, Chelsea Janes, kind enough to join us here on today's program. Chelsea, we appreciate the time. How are things going for you?
Everything's going well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm sure that to a degree you were excited to have the All-Star break come, get a couple of days off on the back end of All-Star coverage. What's this week been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It was great being out in Denver, and it was a really fun week. And glad to have a little bit of a breather now.
What was it like to be there for the Home Run Derby? I know going into it, everybody had their eyes and attention on Shohei Ohtani and whether or not he'd be able to kind of deliver to the hype that was there and ultimately resulting in Pete Alonso winning it for the second consecutive Derby. What was it like to be there in that moment?
You know, it was a lot of fun. I think, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hit or miss, so to speak, with the Home Run Derby. You know, it should be fun, but sometimes it kind of falls flat. And that one didn't. I think a lot of people there were really excited about it. You know, certainly watching Shohei Ohtani and Juan Soto go back and forth was incredible. And, you know, I think Pete Alonso did a really nice job of, you know, bringing energy. You know, I know he wasn't everyone's kind of first choice. I think people would have loved to see Shohei Ohtani go further, but Pete Alonso seems to kind of love that stage. And I think he really brought the crowd along with him.
And Chelsea, obviously, over the last few years, the Home Run Derby has gone through a lot of changes to its format. I know some people were talking about Salvador Perez actually having the second best round, but because he was matched up with Pete Alonso, he could not advance through. Do you like how they do it now with the 1v1 matchups, or do you wish that it was still kind of like a top four advance type of thing?
I think the way they've got it now, they really have the pacing down, and for me, that's really important. I think you can kind of lose people if you just kind of, you know, one after one, just keep going and then figure it out at the end. I think this keeps people really interested, you know, every couple hitters. You have something on the line. So I like the way they do it. I think certainly Salvador Perez kind of got the short end of the stick, but at the same time, for a guy like him with so many miles on him, just to come in, kind of have a really nice showing and then be able to sit down for the rest of the night, it probably wasn't too much of a hardship. So, you know, I think all around, it's, the way they're doing it now is pretty good, but you know, there's always going to be a few kind of blips where you say, oh, that guy probably could have gotten through in a different situation.
Saw something yesterday before the All-Star game about I guess the All-Star game being Tuesday. Saw something yesterday, though, that Rob Manfred talking about rule changes in 2022, and that the possibility and likelihood of going back to nine-inning doubleheaders, going back to some other things as well. What is your take? Are you surprised that he wants to go back to kind of the nine-inning doubleheaders, amongst other things, or would you like to see these new rule changes that we've had the last couple of years, the extra innings being the other one, would you like to see these stay?
I think it makes a lot of sense to go back to full doubleheaders. I think one of the problems you've seen is, you know, these teams have split doubleheaders, which means that, you know, you pay for admission to one game and then you get seven innings just because of the day that you bought that ticket for instead of nine. So I think for that reason, they've sort of got to go back. But I thought it was interesting that he also said, you know, the runner on second base in extra innings is something that will probably go away because it was a COVID-19 change, and certainly it was. But it's not something you look at and say, I see why that was implemented in a pandemic. You know, it just kind of was there to shorten games or whatever it was. So I think it's interesting that one might be kind of on the chopping block, but I totally understand both ways. I think it's been sort of an uncomfortable experiment for everyone. And, you know, the doubleheader thing, I think, is as much financial as it is anything else.
What about a little bit more on that extra inning rule? Have you enjoyed watching that with the runner starting at second base, Chelsea?
You know, I don't have much of a problem with it. You know, some kind of traditionalists do. I think one thing, and I have no data to support this, is it does feel like if you're in a game where, you know, offense is stagnant and you're 1-1, 0-0 into the, you know, 10th inning, it does seem to kind of spark things a little bit. It gets things going and often, you know, kind of lets teams explode for a few runs at a time. So I think in that way it sort of serves its purpose. We're not seeing 20-inning games like we do every once in a while in the past, and you're saving bullpens and things like that. So I think it has its benefits, but I think, you know, by and large, people just feel like it's kind of cheap and you know, takes away the element of starting a rally that is so important in extra innings. But I don't have a problem with it. I think it's probably okay that it's going away.
Chelsea James of the Washington Post is our guest today here on Sports Call, a national baseball reporter. You can follow her coverage on Twitter at Chelsea_James. Chelsea, we take a look at this week. It's also been the Major League Baseball draft. I know a couple of Auburn Tigers were selected here locally after finishing up their SEC careers. What did it mean for the game after having just 5 rounds last year to be able to expand even further and put on a 20-round baseball draft this week?
I think it was really, really nice. I heard from a lot of people who were really happy, not only that the draft was back to 20 rounds, obviously, but just the fact that it happened during All-Star Week, the fact that it happened when everyone was there, and sure, it was a little chaotic, but I think it really did kind of put those guys, those prospects, in the spotlight in the way they wouldn't have been if it's just kind of mid-June.
Sure.
So I think people were really happy with how it all went. And I think, you know, you're going to see some changes over the next couple years in the way that drafting works. We have, you know, basically one less affiliate per team now because of the way Major League Baseball restructured the minors. I think with COVID, you know, scouting, evaluating was all different. It'd be really interesting to sort of see what these guys this year are coming into. I think there, a lot of them are going to have a chance to sort of be thrown right into maybe higher levels than they would have otherwise. And so I think everyone was happy with it. It just seems like a nice kind of celebration. And I think, you know, I think it's good to kind of have that back to 20 rounds, which isn't even where they were before. The 5 rounds just felt a little too compact.
We've got a few more here with Chelsea James again from the Washington Post. And let's go a little bit more local here. As we said, here in Auburn, Alabama, definitely in the heart of Braves country, just 2 hours away from Atlanta. We know that, Chelsea, you spent a number of years as a beat writer for the Washington Nationals. So let's talk about the second half of the season in that National League Eastern Division. Obviously, Braves fans are heartbroken over the ACL injury that Ronald Acuña Jr. sustained. What are some of the other big storylines in this division in particular that you're looking at for the second half?
Yeah, that Acuña injury was really heartbreaking. I mean, you know, obviously you hope he'll be fine by next year, and it's not like a career ender or anything. But, you know, I was one of the people who, at the beginning of the year, thought the Braves had a really good chance to do a lot this year, and it just hasn't come together, particularly on the pitching side. So, you know, they've still got a lot of firepower there and maybe can make a little bit of a run. But I think right now, you know, it's the Mets division to lose. They're in a position where they've got the most talent. They're getting everybody back. You know, the Nats aren't making much of a push. They're kind of hanging in there, but that's about all they've got. The Phillies haven't really brought it all together. So in my mind, it's the Mets to lose. And, you know, they've been okay. They've built a lead there, but they have not yet shown that they're ready to run away with it. So, you know, I think it's going to be kind of up to them whether they bury everybody else or whether they let the Braves and Nats and others think they have a chance until the end.
About 2 weeks left until the trading deadline, Chelsea. On the buying side of things, which team do you expect to be most active? And then on the selling side of things, which team should be the most active?
It's an interesting way to put it. You know, I think that we're going to see the Cubs sell off, you know, and that's a big deal because they've got some big-time talent that we've, you know, seen for years with Bryant and Rizzo and people like that. So I think that's going to be the team to watch in terms of selling, though, of course, you know, the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, teams that are, you know, way out of it, the Pirates will likely kind of get something for Adam Frazier, their all-star. You know, so there's kind of a lot of options there. But on the buying side, it's interesting. You know, I'm interested to see what the Yankees do. They're not, you know, near the top of that division. They're kind of hanging in there, but they certainly aren't a team that's going to sell. And, you know, I think, you know, also the Padres, that's a team that's kind of always willing to go out and make deals and things like that. And they're going to want to make a push in this division. They've come so close to kind of, you know, hanging in there with the Dodgers, and I think they're going to try to do something to put themselves over the top. So those are the ones I'm watching. But teams like the Rays and things like that, you just kind of never know what they're thinking. But for me, the Yankees and the Padres might end up being two of the more interesting buyers that we see.
And then specifically with the Braves, as we talked about just a moment ago, the Acuña injury definitely factoring into their equation big time down the stretch. A team that, as you said, expected to do some pretty big things this year. I mean, how should management go about their trade deadline with the knowledge that one of their franchise pillars is injured, and then another one of their franchise pillars in Freddie Freeman is a free agent at the end of this season? Kind of a weird situation for the Braves to be in.
It really is, and it's unfortunate because it just seems like they were so stacked. They just had everything they needed coming into this year. But I think, you know, if I'm them, and, you know, obviously they're far more qualified than I am, but, you know, I just worry about Freeman at this point. You know, you had a good team. You don't have to break it down and start from scratch. You know, there's a lot of good stuff happening there, a lot of young pitchers that can still figure it out. You know, Acuña is going to be great. You've got Albies. But for me, Freeman is so important to that team and that city and everything that they're able to do and have been able to do. Make sure you keep him happy. Make sure you kind of lock him up long term. And that's, you know, then you'll have gotten out of the season sort of unscathed. But for me, you know, they're just kind of a bad luck team, and that happens sometimes. But I don't think they're in a position where they need to totally overhaul because, you know, coming into this year, they looked really good. And you know, other than Marcelo Ozuna probably not being available, you know, long term, you know, they've still got all those pieces.
Chelsea, we certainly do appreciate you taking time this afternoon to chat with us here on Sports Call in Auburn. Before we let you go, again, this is Chelsea James from the Washington Post. Your Twitter bio tells the world that you once got booed at Turner Field. I need that story.
Yeah, it's one of my prouder moments. It's really not great. I got a foul ball up in the press box and saw some kids up to my right and thought that I could make the throw to them instead of just dropping it peacefully down to someone below me. And I ended up overthrowing the kids by so much that everyone thought I had done it on purpose. So I got booed. But it was not on purpose, but I learned my lesson, and I will forever just kind of hand the ball to someone from now on.
That's a moment you're probably going to remember forever.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can follow her on Twitter at Chelsea_Janes. Give us kind of an idea, a rundown of what these next few weeks look like for you, Chelsea, and really the entire Washington Post baseball staff that you've guys got there, some of the projects you might be working on.
You know, I think we're going to have a really interesting project on black players in baseball coming out in early August. It should be fun to look for. A lot of the, you know, really big names that everyone's watched over the years have been willing to talk to us. But other than that, you know, I think we'll be following the trade deadline, obviously, and just really kind of trying to keep an eye on, you know, Team USA Baseball over in Japan. There's a lot going on, and so we're going to be tracking all of that for sure. Thanks for having me.
Chelsea James joining us here on Sports Call.